I'm Deb Millett, and I am presenting on behalf of the Structural Deficiencies Panel. Carolyn Giuseppe was the panel chair for that. And I have nothing to report. The topics that this panel looked at were burn prevention, fall prevention, noise reduction, fire prevention, injury prevention in hazardous areas, and temperature control. The scope of the panel was determined to include structural deficiencies and monitoring of structural deficiencies and behavior to correct or monitor structural deficiencies. So they determined that that would include those deficiencies in which a builder or landlord or owner would take responsibility in the design, the construction, installation, and repair. But it would exclude behaviors of household residents, things like how they would store poison, how they would fix loose rugs, and that sort of thing. So interventions that were effective in reducing injury. In scald prevention, legislation for preset temperature for water heaters was found to be effective, and the use of water heaters with preset safe temperatures. Fire prevention, working smoke alarms were found to be effective, and the isolation or the four-sided isolation of fencing around pools was found to be effective in preventing drowning. The promising interventions that needed more field testing in scald prevention included temperature-controlled mixer faucets, voluntary compliance by manufacturers with preset temperatures, and home education to reduce temperatures of hot water heaters. These were all promising, but need more testing. Fall prevention, home safety education was found to be promising. Home modifications, including handrails, grab bars, lighting, and window guards. Building codes that looked at stair and balcony design and window guards. And community-based coordinated multi-strategy initiatives that included home hazard reduction, which targeted older adults. In fire prevention, community-based installation of smoke alarms along with education in high-risk homes, building codes and legislation that targeted smoke alarms, safe ignition sources, and exits, safe escape, window access, fire escapes, and protected stairways. And then in drowning prevention, the isolated four-sided pool fencing, they found that ordinances, legislation, building codes, home and community-based education and promotion to promote the use of the four-sided was promising, but the interventions still needed more field testing. So in the area of promising interventions, these are things that that the panel decided looked good. There just wasn't enough data to definitely say that these were interventions that absolutely would work. Interventions in need of formative research in terms of burn and scald prevention, the use and acceptability of anti-scald technology, community-based education for safe hot water temperatures, community-based, coordinated, and multi-strategy initiatives targeting children, targeting families with children under the age of 14, and then the design of stoves and stove controls still need formative research. In fall prevention, there was a question of more formative research for specific home modifications that are most effective for reducing falls in older adults. And then the effect of community-based coordinated multi-strategy initiatives that include home hazard reduction and targeting children. Older adult fall prevention, we need more formative research on advice and recommendations alone for home modification. In terms of fire prevention, more research is needed on the design of smoke alarms to optimize the efficacy, reliability, and long-term function. Home and community-based education, the distribution program to reduce ignition sources, update wiring, clean chimneys, safe space heaters. We need to explore the behaviors to escape routes in order to determine better building designs. And the acceptability, promotion, and adverse effects of automatic fire sprinkler systems. Also, community-based smoke alarm giveaway programs. It's necessary to do more research on that and to see whether that by itself makes a difference. For drowning prevention, we need more research on pool covers and alarm systems to find out if they're alternatives to pool fencing. And will they add any benefit to in conjunction with pool fencing? And then better designs for bathtubs to protect people of all ages. In terms of carbon monoxide exposure prevention, more research is necessary on the behavioral legislative design and engineering interventions to reduce carbon monoxide exposure. General injury prevention. Safety-related building codes and legislations, we need to know the effect of enforcement and or incentives and specific language. We need more research on that. The interaction among a range of structural hazards. In other words, what's the relationship between falls and carbon monoxide exposure? And then research in the innovation around experimental design and evaluation of residential hazards, such as lab testing of electrical wire coatings. An intervention which was shown to be ineffective and should be stopped is three-sided pool fencing, which is much less effective than four-sided and may indeed be harmful. The committee said that they needed more literature or expertise to make recommendations on noise, on temperature, fire ignition and spread, and structural design to prevent falls and scalds in the kitchen, and they felt that they needed more input from architects, builders, and engineers. So the committee felt that there were a number of issues, research gaps, challenges, and concerns that they had. Some were on methodologic issues. Few studies evaluated injury outcome, and many had a small sample size, making it difficult to draw conclusions. They felt that investigators should develop and use standardized tools and measures for home health hazards, interventions and outcomes that allow cross-study comparison and pooling of data. They felt that multifactorial interventions should be evaluated using a factorial design to assess specific interventions. However, if the multifactorial intervention is shown to be effective to reduce injuries, it's not essential that each individual component be evaluated separately before the intervention should be recommended for implementation. Felt that hazard reduction studies should measure all applicable outcomes relevant to morbidity and mortality, including stress resulting from loss of property in a home fire, risk of Legionnaires' disease with lower hot water temperatures, that injury outcomes that are directly relevant to the particular hazards being prevented, in other words, the effect of reducing hot water temperature on burns and scalds rather than on total injuries, should be looked at. They felt that federal support of small business innovation research might be helpful in approaching interventions and development and evaluations. The cost effectiveness and cost benefit analysis of home safety interventions are needed, and that insurers and other third parties with potential economic interests should be included in the development and implementation of interventions to reduce injuries and death. And that's all. Thank you.